All right, so pull out the sheet on present tense. Last week, we began learning the augmentate for the ending for the present tense. And all we did was learn singular endings, right? So if you look at the top of the page in the right-hand column where it says augmentate for the ending, you see that? We learned the present tense endings for the singular, which are e, say, and take. And then we did some exercises from the book using these endings. Now, I want to just go over this chart so that you remember the verbs, because we've been working on nouns for so long. So I just want to do a slight review, okay? First of all, notice at the top it says present tense. In Sanskrit, there are many tenses. There's present tense, past tense, future tense. There's moods, like imperative mood and potential mood. So we're going to be learning different tenses. Right now, we're only working on the present tense. And the present tense is exactly that. It can be used, it's denoting the present in this way, either like I run to the store, I run, or I am running. I read, or I am reading. This distinction between I read and I am reading, like we have in English, they don't have in Sanskrit. You have to choose, depending upon how you translate the sentence, what feels right. I read or I am reading. Do you understand what I mean? I run or I am running. I think or I am thinking. Also, often in the present tense, we can translate it as the immediate future. Like I could say, I'm going to the store. Right? That has an immediate future sense. I'm going to the store. It means I'm going to go to the store. So in Sanskrit, also the present tense can have that sense of what I'm just now going to be doing, immediate future. So now, we have learned so far the endings for the present tense, parasmaika endings. So let's just review those. If you remember, for the verbs, just like the nouns, there's a singular, dual, and plural ending. There's a first person, second person, and third person. The first person is I, we. Second person is you, you all. You, I, we two, we all. You two, you all, for the dual, right? And the third person is he, she, or it. They, both, or they all. I say they, both, just to make clear what the dual is. Now look at the endings that we learned for the parasmaika. Present tense, me, kaha, maha, ti, kaha, ta, ti, kaha, anti. Did you see that? There were a couple of things that you have to remember when you're adding these endings on to a verb in the first, fourth, sixth, or tenth conjugations. Note. In the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth conjugations, the conjugational sign, the gunna sign, always ends in up. I want you to note that. That's why we use these four. We're these four first. In other words, the first gunna, the first conjugation, the conjugational sign is up. The second conjugation, the fourth conjugation, the conjugational sign is ya. So that ends in up, right? And then ya. The sixth conjugation, the conjugational sign ends in a. And the tenth conjugation, the conjugational sign ends in a ya. It ends in a. So everybody got that? A, ya, a, and a ya were the gunna signs, the conjugational signs that we use, that we learned. Why do you learn, since there's going to be 10 conjugations, why do you learn the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth first? Why don't you just learn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10? It's because the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth have this one thing in common, that the gunna sign, ya, or aya, all of them end in a. Right? Aya ends in a, ya ends in a. Everybody see that? So that gives, in terms of Sunday rules, these all have something in common, because that means in all cases, in all of these cases, determinations that you're learning, in this case the present tense terminations, are going to be added to a gunna sign that ends in up. okay for everybody? I'll explain this in another round, but for now, I want you to look at this.
Can you explain that? I'm sorry, I don't understand. Where is that?
We went through learning the verbs. The first verb we learned, the first set of verbs we learned were first conjugation verbs.
Right.
And the first conjugation verbs have a done sign or a conjugational sign, which is a. So this would be the first gonna, first conjugation, gonna means conjugation. And the conjugational sign is a. And that would mean to the root, like for instance, boon.
Oh, right. Okay.
You add a. Okay? Mm-hmm. For the fourth, just in case Jen doesn't know this, but we'll be going over it. For the fourth, say if I have a root like push, the gonna sign is ya. For the sixth, say if I have, where I have an example here, exish. The gonna sign again is of. And then say for the tenth, sure, the gonna sign is aya. And to that, the terminations are added. He is for the person singular. Everybody kind of remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing you're going to have to remember is that, so here you've got the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth, okay? Another thing I want you to remember is that in the first gonna, the middle vowel takes guna before taking the gonna sign, or the ending vowel takes guna. So bood becomes bode, right? In the fourth, nothing happens. The root stays with the base. In the sixth, nothing happens to the root. The root stays at the base. In the tenth, middle vowel takes guna. Middle takes vridhi. Okay? And ending vowel takes vridhi. So I'll show you these rules again, but what I want you to remember is that when we learn these four, not only do you learn what each one from 1 to 10, each one is going to have a gonna sign. But the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth, their gonna sign ends in a. Like ya is, right, so this ends in ya, ya. And why that's important is because when we add all of these endings on, there in some of the endings, there's going to be a sundi. Like say the ending is E, and the alternate for the A plus E will be A. Y plus E will be Y. So all of these are going to have exactly the same Sunday rules, so that's why they want you to learn this group first. The gonna sign, whether it's first, fourth, sixth, tenth, does not change the meaning. Present tense is still present tense, right? So it has nothing to do with the meaning. It only has to do with formation. Some roots form in a whole, most of the roots form in this way, the first gunner. Smaller group of roots form in the as fourth gunner roots. They follow the same pattern. Then there's a group of roots that follow the sixth conjugation pattern and another group that follows the tenth conjugation pattern. The major one is this one. So this is most roots belong to this. But whatever the pattern is, it doesn't change the present tense. Right? And whether it's charismatic or opmanapita, it doesn't change the meaning. It's just structural. Okay? Everybody with me?
Okay, I'm going
to
ask just one question.
Mm-hmm.
One was when you
talk
that sometimes when you
say the
moods are also considered
tenses. Yeah, tenses and moods. There's past, present, future, and then potential moods, which is just going to be a different set of endings.
And also all
and
verbs are conjugated and will now have the condition.
That's right. Verbs are conjugated, nouns are declined.
Is that true for Hindi?
No. I don't even know the dimension of Hindi.
No.
Use preposition. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Let's take a look again at this. If you look at these paraparamipita endings, what we learned was that for the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth gunas, before you add on these ni, vaha, or maha, the a will lengthen. So go down to bodami. The ending is ni, vaha, maha, right? The gunna sign for first conjugation is a, but do you see how the a becomes long? Bodami. Bodhavaha. Bodhamaha. Look down for the fourth gana conjugation. Pushami. The gana sign is yeah, but it becomes long. Pushami, Pushavaha, Pushamaha. Go down to the sixth. The gana sign is up. Dishami, Dishavaha, Dishamaha. Becomes long. Go down to the tenth. The gana sign is Aya. Choriyami. Becomes long. Aya. Choriyami. Choriyavaha. Choriyamaha. So that's the pattern. Okay, so the rule is before a termination that begins with a ma or a va, the a of the gana sign will become long. So that's one thing we have to note. The other thing that we have to note is that in the third person plural, ki, kaha, anti, right? See that anti ending?
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. There, if you have a gana sign that begins in a, you would think it would become anti, a plus a, but it doesn't. Look at the third person in the first gun of the third person plural. It's not bodanti. Oh no. Of course, there's my typo, even though I've read this 100 times. Okay. Yeah, it should be bodanti. Then look at, I'll have to correct that and send it out again. Bodanti, then go below. Pushanti. You see where it should be? Normally it would be Pusha plus Anti, Pushanti. It's not. One of the L's drops. Pushanti. Vishanti. Choriyanti. And I have a typo there. You see where I have that Bodanti? It should be Bodanti.
There's an extra
Yeah, I've got an extra line there.
Mm-hmm.
I will fix this on the website. It's on the website now. Present tense, you can print it out, but I'll just go and take that from there. Okay, so those are the unusual things in the pattern that you have to recognize. So we learned all of these, the first in the Parismaipada. Notice the endings, ni, vaha, maha, si, taha, taha, si, taha, anti. Those endings are applied to all of these different conjugations, first, fourth, sixth, and tenth. So if you recognize the endings and you understand that there are conjugations, you can easily kind of recognize it. What are the ones that you are almost invariably always going to see, and very rarely any of the others, is the first person, the third person singular, and the third person plural in reading.
Did you say that one?
When you're reading, The verb that you're going to most often see is going to be the third person, he, she, or it does, or they do. The third person, singular or plural, 90% of the time. If you're reading like the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, right, where there's people and characters, then you'll see all of them. But in Vedanta, we're talking third person philosophically, right? When we're talking third person philosophically, you're very rarely going to see a you or an I. And if you do, it'll be kind of in quotes, like tetsomasi, itty,
yes.
Right? That's it. So it's not that you'll never see it, but I'm talking like 90% of the time, it's going to be third person.
I think that's how you can see
yeah. Everybody with me? For the Atmanekara ending, he's just now introducing Atmanekara. Okay? So, today we're going to do the dual and the plural. We did the singular just last week. So let's look at these endings. Singulars. Let's see. E. Bahe, Bahe. First person. E vahe mahe. Note. This begins with a va, this begins with a ma. It begins with a van ma. The a of the gun sign is going to lengthen. So let's add the e on first. Say if we use shuv, first gun. The root is shuv. Means to shine or to appear beautiful, to be beautiful, to shine, to be splendid. Okay? Shuv. In the first gun of root, first thing we know, that penultimate short vowel, penultimate means the vowel that comes before the last vowel, the penultimate short vowel takes guna. What's the guna root? Oh. Show. First guna guna sign is a. Right, so the first guna, first conjugation, the guna sign is a. Then, to that, we add the termination. This termination is E. So now we have a sundi, A plus E. Everybody see the progression? First gun, we know that penultimate short vowel takes guna, the should becomes shov. To that, we add the gun sign. The first gun sign is A. And to that, we add the termination, which in this case is E. So shob plus e plus a, we get shobha. What is a plus e? A. Simple sundi. So your first person is going to be shobe. Becomes show plus gun sign a plus the first person singular termination in the atmanika a plus b is a. Now here, everybody okay? Vahe and mahe begins with a va. When it begins with a va or ma, the gun of the a of the gun sign is lengthened. Just like in the Paramipada ending, that's me, vaha, maha. If it begins with a ma or va, the gana sign a is lengthened. Same with Atmanapada endings. You've got one in the first person, vahe, mahe, beginning with a va and ma, it's lengthened. So this would be shobha vahe. If you read it there, shobhe, shobhavahe, shobhamahe. Does everybody see the long law there before the run of the month? If I add say, it's just simple. Shoba, say. Say, eat, when. What would be if I add eat on the shoba? What would that be? Show gay tay. What if I had dway on the shoba? Shoba. There's no ite. Just dway. Shoba dway. What if I add on K? K. The shoga. that? Is it just shoba?
Okay.
There's no sandhu. What about ite? Shoba. Yeah. Ah, pasi. Right, shobate, shobete. Now, what about ante? Shoba plus ante. Third person plural. When the third person plural ending, ante or ante come together, instead of the elongating, it stays short. Just like in gachanti, not gachanti, it's gachanti, bodanti, it would be shobante, not shobante. Stay short. This is exactly, see these things here? Exactly like in the first maitra. Before an ending va or ma, the a becomes long, ah. Before an anti or ante, the a stays short. Fourth conjugation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first conjugation, the genitive is a, so you see, and the penultimate vowel says schooner, so shoo becomes show plus a plus e show day. And the fourth, the root stays the same as the base, so yud, which means to fight. Yud stays as yud, and then the genitive is ya, so yud ya. Yud ya plus e, yud ye. Yud plus ya plus vahe, yud ya vahe. Yud plus ya plus mahe, yud ya mahe. Yud yase. Yud yate. Yud plus ya plus ite. Yud yate. Good idea? Yud plus ya plus ite, yud yate. Dwe. Yud plus ya plus dwe, yud yate. Yud yate. Yud plus ya plus te. Yud yate. Yud plus ya plus ite. Yud yate. Pa plus yate. Yud plus ya plus ante. It should be yud ante. If you would want it to be yud yante, but in the third person plural, one of the ad drops and it stays short. Yud yante. Let's go to the sixth gana in the Atmanekara. In the sixth gana, the root stays the same as the base, no changes, and the gana sign is pa, just like in the first gana. The difference between the first gana, first conjugation, and the sixth conjugation is that in the first conjugation, there are rules that cause the root to change to the base by the short penultimate takes guna and ending vowel takes guna in the first gana. But in the sixth gana, there are no rules. The root stays the base. Stays the same as the base. So then you would have tud plus gana sign a plus e today. A plus e is a. Then tudabahe. Tudamahe. Tud plus a. But then the ending begins in a va, so it's likely. Tudabahe. Tudamahe. Tud plus a. But then the ending begins in a va, so it's likely. Tudamahe. Then to the same, to a day, because to plus a plus e te, a plus e is a, to day te. To plus a plus dre, to the dre. To plus a plus te, to the te. To plus a plus e te, to day te. To plus a plus ante, to the ki. Again, a plus a in the ante, stays what I think stays short. Let's look at the fourth. In the fourth, in the tenth, the gana sign is Pavya. The root here is chur. Chur takes, in a sense, there are a lot of rules for root to base. The penultimate short vowel takes guna, short penultimate takes vriddhi, and ending vowel takes vriddhi in the tenth guna. So here, chur is a short u, so chur becomes chor for the root to base rule, and then the chor plus the guna sign aya, choriya. Choriya plus e, choriye. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus vahe, choriya vahe. Aya becomes aya because of the vahe. Choriya mahe, same thing. Chur becomes chor plus aya, but it becomes aya because of the mahe. In the first person, if the root begins with a va or ma, and if the termination begins with a va or ma, the a of the gun sign is lengthened. So choriye, choriya vahe, choriya mahe. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus se, choriya se. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus ite, apatiye te, choriye te. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus dway, choriya dway. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus te, choriya te. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus ite, choriye te. Chur becomes chor plus aya plus ante, se chor, choriente. You see the pattern?
In the fourth
guna, there's no change from root to base. So yud, today is yud.
And then
and that's right. And the ya will become ya before the vahe and mahe because it begins with the varma. And it will stay short, aya before the ante in the third person form. And those rules are the same for the parasamayapada and the atmanapada. In both parasamayapada and atmanapada, the a becomes a before an ending that begins with the varma. And in the third person plural, the S is short, even though it's trending with another O. Is that?
You can get the base in each one and then to the base in each
one. You make the base, you go from root to base, whatever rules are involved, and here it's only the first and the tenth that have rules. Otherwise, in the fourth and the sixth, the root stays the same as the base.
And to get from the root to the base,
you
apply first whatever rules there are in each of the groups.
Right, and then the termination. Now the way that Bhandarkar works.
Mm-hmm. And then in the tenth guna, the ending vowel and the next ending of the vritti.
Oh, the tenth guna, this is it.
Okay.
Yes, no, not quite. In the tenth guna, the penultimate
of.
Penultimate short vowel takes guna, but the penultimate takes vriddhi, and the ending vowel takes vriddhi. Penultimate short vowel takes guna, but except for the penultimate which takes vriddhi, and the ending vowel takes vriddhi.
So in this case, there's only the penultimate
short
vowel.
There's no penultimate, yes. If there was a penultimate, although I like to lose tug, it would become cog. Now, another thing is that there are groups of roots that are exceptions to all of this, and Bhandarkar always puts those exceptions in brackets and makes a note underneath that this root belongs to a small group that are exceptions. So that can be a problem for you initially if you're learning to write, but you know, learning to read is much easier because it's all just recognition. Right? So you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be so active. Is everybody okay with it? We'll be pointing, you know, you can just keep reading over these, but we'll be pointing this out again and again and again in those sentences. What is the best thing is that if you read these over, you'll start to get a feel for what verbs look like, like in a sentence. So that if I can say, well, what do you think is the, even though you don't even know the meaning of the words, I say, what do you think is the verb in this sentence? So you can, you can start recognizing them structurally, right? Just like you can start recognizing nouns structurally just by what they look like, even though you don't know the meaning. Everyone okay? I can put the chain back on. Of this frame of chain. Okay, let's go to page 39.
Uh-oh. That's the one I didn't look at.
These don't have any relationship to the other?
No.
Okay.
No. Page 39 in the book. Actually, if you, we haven't done this, right?
No, we haven't.
Okay. What you have learned, last week you learned on page 37,
yeah,
the Vande, Vandate, and Vandate.
Mm.
And then today I did all on, if you look on page 40, we did the rest of them. Okay, so you're going to have some time to learn these. Let's do the sentences on page 39. Okay. So repeat after me. Devam Vande.
Devam Vande.
What's the verb?
Vande.
Vanda plus and the ending is E, right? You can see the A because Vanda plus A plus E, Vande. Deva means God. Vand means to someone with a sponsor to worship. So Devam Vande would be what? Or I worship. How do they translate Vande here? Let me just check. To salute, okay. So salute is in the sense of worship, okay? Devam Vande. So Devam like Rama. Devam Vande. I worship the Lord God, Devam. Bhayam Shankase. What's the verb? Say would be you. Shank means to suspect. Bhaya means fear. That's an odd sentence, but Bhayam Shankase. Just whatever it says, you suspect fear. I don't know what they're talking about. That's what it says. Shank means to suspect. Shankar say, you suspect, say, and you suspect, bhayam. Bhayam is like, accusative singular here, you suspect fear. Next one. Bhayad vekate hridayam. Bhayad vekate hridayam. Sandhi. Bhayat vekate hridayam. Bhaya means fear. Can you see the verb? What's the verb? Vekate. Vekate means to tremble. Vekate. Hridaya is a neuter noun. Hridayam, heart. What does it say? Bhayat vekate hridayam. Faith to tremble, hridaya heart, bhaya fear.
The heart
fears. Three words.
Oh, yeah.
Tremble.
Bayat.
The heart trembles in fear.
Bayat, from fear. Tablets are singular. Bayat, from fear. Faith to fear. It trembles. He should have trembled. What trembles? Bayam. Bayam is neuter. Kalam kalay palani, kalam kalay palani. So, bayam tekate. The heart trembles. From what? From fear. So ablative can be causal. What is the cause of the heart's trembling? Ablative. So bayat from fear, vekate, trembles, fridium, the heart. The heart trembles from fear.
But she learned to instrumental?
You can. Because you can. Because instrumental also can be used causally. So you could use an instrumental there.
You could. So you would be what kind of noun?
Bayana.
Bayana.
No. Bayana. Ina. Bayana. It's not like cutting off. Bayana. Okay. But here, baya, from here. But the instrumental can be used causally also. Suryaha prakashite.
Which
Sunday would be Surya Prakashate? Surya Prakashate. Well, the Anuswara is that is sound before the talk. Surya Prakashate. Surya Prakashate. Surya is sun. Prakash means to shine. What does it say? Suryaha, like Ramaha, Prakashate, Te, third person singular. Suryaha, Prakashate, the sunshine. Vyagro, Mriyate. Vyagro, Mriyate. Vyagraha, Mriyate. Vyagraha, Vyagra is a tiger. Mri comes from mr. Look on page 38, right across the page, sixth gana, that top word mr. See that? Its unusual form is mri. And to that the gana sign is added. So mriyate. So vyagra means tiger, mr. means to die. What does it say? It's singular, right? Vyagraha, like a ramaha. Mriyate, the tiger dies. Asatyam bhashate. Asatyam
bhashate.
Asatyam, satyam means truth. Asatyam means falsehood. Bhash means to speak. What does it say? Yeah. You're lying. You're speaking a falsehood.
So bhashate is like a bhasha.
Well, actually, yeah, bhasha is that which has been written or spoken. Right, that's true. It comes from that. Bhash means to speak. Bhash is say, you speak or you are speaking. As satyam, a lie. You're speaking a falsehood. Satyam, bhash is say. Pader udyamam shlake. Harehe udyamam shlake. What's the verb? Shlag. If you say shlage, shlag means to extol and praise. Shlage would mean what?
I.
Right? It's not shlagate or shlagate, it's shlage. I praise.
What? Wait.
Shlag.
Yeah.
Plus gun sign a. Plus e. A plus e is a.
Oh,
shlage. Harehe udyamam. Everybody see the sound there? Harehe udyamam. Shlage. Udyamam means, quite the effort. Is the effort sort of exertion or industry, yeah. So say the industry. Harehe. What's harehe? Hari? Harehe. Or Genesis. The harehe udyamam,
the effort of
the efforts or industry of hari. Hari efforts or industry. Industry in the sense of effort, but, you know, just exertion.
What
was I praise.
The
efforts of mm-hmm. Right. Pushikani mridayase. Pushikani mridayase. What's the verb? The verb. And mrid means to speak. When you see that aya there, the aya, mridaya, the mridaya, that aya means it's tenth gana. When you see the say, What is there?
Mm-hmm.
You.
Mm-hmm.
So, pustaka is a book, not a noun. Pustakani, mrika yase. Mrika means to see the book. What does it say? Pustaka is a book. Kalam pale kalam. Pustakam, pustake, pustakani. Say, be the same. You, Tara. You are looking for, you are seeking the books. Right, in Sanskrit, there's not going to be an article like the or a. You have to supply that in English. You are seeking for, you are looking for the books. Did you see that? Pustaka means books. Pustakani was being the accusative plural. Mrika yase, you are seeking pustakani books. Books you are seeking. How's everybody doing? Paula?
How are you doing?
I'm here. I'm barely following, to tell you the truth. I need to write it out still.
No, because the thing that you're seeking is the object. So the thing that you're seeking is the object. So merge yesay. Merge yesay, say, is second person singular. So you are seeking merge yesay. Pustakani. Palam pale palani. Palam pale palani. That's accusative plural. So, pustakani, the books, merge yesay, you are seeking. Okay? Zero ring, mishu de yesay. Zero rin, nishu deyate.
Zero rin, nishu
deyate. Sandhi. Viraha, harim, shu deyate, shu deyate. Nishu deyate. Viraha, harim, nishu deyate. Ni plus should becomes nishud, nishud deyate, it means to this nishud means to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Viraha means the warrior or the hero. Ari is an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And Ari is an enemy. So viraha, arim, nishud deyate. What would it mean? Destroys. The hero, the vira, or warrior, either one. The warrior is destroying, the hero destroys the enemy. Viraha, like Ramaha, Nama is a singular, so the warrior, Arim, like Ramam, right? Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramau, Ramam. So Arim is the accusative singular, Nishudiyate, Te. Third person singular. So it's one warrior, one hero destroys the one enemy.
What is Arim?
Arim. So Viraha Arim. You did break the sentence. Viraha Arim. Nishu de Yate. Roger? Modako Falakaya. Rosate. Modako Balakaya Rosate. Modakaha Balakaya Rosate. Modaka is a sweet. Balaka is a young boy. Bala means boy, Balaka means a small boy. So Balakaya, and Roach comes from roach, which means to change or to take in. And this particular verb and verbs that mean to please or to satisfy govern the dative case. You have to memorize that. Mm-hmm. So the object, the one that's being pleased, will be put in the dative. So it is pleasing for. Okay, that's where the object takes the dative, and the one who's being pleased is put in the dative. For verbs like roots, that means to please or to satisfy. So here you've got sweet meat, young boy, and pleasing, to please. So you, and in English you would say, you don't have to use the word for, you would say the sweet is pleasing to the boy, to the young boy. You can. You can say the sweet pleases the boy also. But in Sanskrit construction, right, when we translate it in English, you have to say it the way we would say it. But in Sanskrit construction, this particular root that means to please or satisfy, governs the data of the one who's being pleased. So if you were to one of the problems in translating Sanskrit is if we were to hang on to those prepositions, data means for or to, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have to let that go. You have to understand what the sentence is saying. Right? So all this says is that the object, for the one who is being pleased, is put in the dative case. So the sweetmeats are pleasing to the boy. That's how I would say. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to say the sweetmeat pleases the boy, mm-hmm. that's fine. Because in English, it's saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or the sweetmeats mean sweet. Mm-hmm. Or candy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They translated it that Mordecai sweetmeat. It just means it's sweet, like a candy.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? Do you look a little puzzled? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the translation between the sweet pleases for the boy or the sweet pleases the boy, you're saying it's the same thing, because we don't hang on for Malachi so much. Because I guess in the
sense. Just understand the construction in Sanskrit, that's how it says.
Right, because English also the noun and the, you know, they remain the same, what is the object and, I mean, the subject of the object remain the same in either translation.
Yeah, it's going to be the same, that's right.
Oh, no, this is, not working again.
Let's go to the next one. Kataha Kutra Vartate. Kata is a mat.
Mm-hmm.
The mat that you might sit on. Kutra is an indeclinable, mm-hmm. and it means where. So Kutra, indeclinables always stay in the same form. Kutra will always be Kutra. So kutra means where, as a question. So kataha kutra vartate. Vart comes from vrit, the first kind of root. So vrite skunan becomes var, so vartate. Vartate just means is, like us to be. Vart means is. So kataha kutra vartate. What would it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where's the map? Kataha is the nominative, right? Where is? So there's only going to all be a nominative. So kataha. Kataha kutra vartate. Where's the map?
Isn't there a question mark?
No question marks. In Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. Manin parikshate manitaraha. Manin parikshate manipadaha.
Manin parikshate manipadaha.
What's the verb? Then you can recognize it by that face. The word money means jewel. Parish, right? Like the Vedic Chidamani, right? Money. Chidamani is question. Money is jewel. Parish means to examine. Manikara, jewel maker. Jeweler. Kara is maker, right? Money, the doer, the maker of jewels. Manikara means a jeweler. So Manikara is the jeweler. Money is jewel. Parish is to examine. What does it say? The jeweler examines.
The jeweler.
Money. It's not money. Money for the singular.
Oh, the jeweler examines the jewels.
Jewels. Harihi, harihi, hariyaha. Harim, harihi, harim. So, manim, jewels. Parikshate, third person, three did it. Manikara. We're just going to do a couple more. And in there, okay. So, manikara, the jewel. Parikshate, examines manim, the jewels. Okay. Manim, parikshate, manikara. Putrasya, labhena, mojate. Putra means son. Labha means acquisition or obtaining. Mod comes from mood, to rejoice. Putrasya labhena modate. Modate. What does modate mean? He or she rejoices. Who's right with the city? The fear of the sun. Lava.
He or she rejoices
by the gaining of the sun. By the obtaining of the sun. I think what they probably mean is that they've just by birth had a son.
Oh, that kind of son.
Boy child. Mm-hmm. Okay. So by the gain of a son, he or she rejoices. Because of the gain of a son, right, they rejoice. They just had a child, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. So labhena, by means of, right? That's causal. By means of the attainment, so through gain, through the gaining of a son, modate, because of gaining a son, modate, he or she rejoices. One more version. Buddho mokshan labhate. Buddha mokshan labhate. Buddha means wise person. Moksha liberation. Love to gain. Buddha, not like Ramaha, not as a singular, moksha, accusative, singular, right? Mokshaha, moksha, mokshaha, mokshan. Moksha, mokshan. So moksha.
I thought it was meant for mind.
There's a lot of words for mind, but Buddha means a wise person. Chitta means mind. There's a lot of different words. Manas means mind.
Buddhi.
It's not Buddhi, Buddha. And it means one is wise.
Buddha.
It's not Buddha. The Buddha, that's the past passive participle. It's the one who has known.
Oh, yeah.
But this is just Buddha. Buddha moksham labhate. The wise person labhate gains, obtains moksham.
That's
Shraddhavan Labhate Jnana. The one who has Shraddhavan Labhate gains Jnana, knowledge. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. All right. We're going to, you have time to keep memorizing these things. So what we're going to do next time is we're just going to do these sentences. The second column, and we're going to do the sentences on page, on the next set of sentences on page 41 and 42. On what page? Yeah. They're on online. All of the sentences are online. Here, four numbers up. Thank you.